This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
What a great day. I love it. Glad that you're here. We're going to continue on in our study, part two of this series we're calling I Can't Even. You got to put your hand like that. It's this, I guess, face palm, right? I can't even. That's the series that we're currently in. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 25, if you would go there with me this morning. I can't decide what to title today's message. Maybe you can help me out. I got three potential titles. Number one, remember these because you're going to vote. Esau, the drama queen. Okay, that's number one. Number two, it's just a bowl of beans, all right? Number three, hangry, all right? Those are the three. So how many of you would vote Esau the drama queen? It's just a bowl of beans. Hangry. I think we got a winner. Hangry is the title of today's message. As you're going to Genesis 25, let me give you just a few things that are happening this week. I got to tell you, there's a lot of good stuff going on. Lord's been messing me up in a good way about this Awakening the Giants conference. It's been downloading some really, really good stuff, and I can't wait to share with you, but not today. I'll make you wait. But we're going to prepare for that conference today by going down to Riverfront Park this way. We've adopted that sort of because it's nearby, but also because that really is a significant gateway in our city. And it just has a lot of significance for us as a church being this close. So we just do a cleanup about once a quarter and appreciate some help. If you could, 1:30 this afternoon, grab some lunch. Beautiful day to just be out there. So get a bite and then go down and help us out, 1:30. And then at 3 o'clock, we're doing our sanctuary, which is our typically twice monthly night of worship and prayer. Today, we're moving it up to 3, and we're doing it right after cleanup. So we're going to go pray at the gate. And I'll share more about that this afternoon when we're down there, but I just feel like something significant. There's a reason why we're to reclaim that portion of our city. So come help us out if you can this afternoon, 1:30 for cleanup, 3 for prayer. Tomorrow night, there's a care portal meeting. What that is, sounds like a new science fiction movie. But the care portal is a new tool we've been handed. It's a national organization that connects churches in a local area to help us meet the needs of families who have typically kids who maybe either are at risk, they're losing those kids, or they want to get the kids back in the home. It's a way that we can help restore families. That's what it boils down to. So if you would like to help with that need, there's an informational meeting tomorrow night, 6 o'clock at the Edge. That's the church just south of 36 Highway on the Belt on the east side. 6 p.m., you'll get more detail. What I'm hoping from that meeting is a core of y'all, say y'all, that's how we say it, we're from the south, y'all to hang on to that and help steer that process for us to connect. There's about 7 churches now that are on board. Isn't that cool? And this is a multi-church effort. And so together, we're going to learn how to care for our city in a very practical way. So if you'd like to be involved in that, that meeting would be awesome. And then let me know if that's something in your heart. Next Saturday, we will have an indoor cleanup day. We'll be here in this building, just kind of tidying up the spot. I mean, there are 9 different tribes from 5 different states plus Canada coming here. The mayor has been alerted. It was in the paper yesterday. I'm just thinking this is going to be a big deal. Plus, this is just a significance to what's going on that I believe will be a milestone for our church. So next Saturday, 9 to noon, we'll be cleaning up right here. Just bring your basic cleanup supplies, maybe a little bit of yard cleanup over here across the way to kind of get the neighborhood looking good. And then the conference itself is September 29th. That's a Thursday night is when it begins. And then it lasts Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, as well as Friday morning, Saturday morning, and Sunday morning church. So it's going to be just a wild time. I'm so excited about what God's going to do. And anxious to see what he's going to do. You know, a part of this series is us discovering our identity, and there's a part of this conference, I think, that's a key to our identity as a city with the First Nations people. I don't understand it all yet, but I'm open to hearing it. How about you? It's like, God, just download me with what you want to share. And today we're going to talk about, you know, not only letting go of our identity and receiving who we are, and sometimes it's a matter of putting off an identity that others might have put on us, or expectations of people, or maybe of ourselves. Today, I'm going to just talk about that. We really focused on Jacob last week. Remember Jacob? Heel grabber, you know, deceiver. If you didn't catch that, it's online. Today, we're going to talk about his older brother. Esau. Now, Esau was older just by a few seconds, and if Jacob had had his way, he would have been the older brother, right? If he'd been successfully at grabbing that heel and pulling Esau back, but it didn't work. Esau got born first, and Jacob's going to find a way, as you probably suspect, to grab that birthright from him. So let's read about it in Genesis 25. I'm going to start reading in verse 24 if you want to follow along. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. That'd be kind of scary. His brother came out. They named him Esau. Verse 26, after this, his brother came out with his hand, grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob, heel grabber. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up. Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Somebody say trouble. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. Someone say hangry. Hangry. That is why he was called Edom, because red, you know, the stew was red too. Jacob replied, first sell me your birthright, bucko. Look, I'm about to die. Esau said, drama queen. What good is the birthright to me? Ugh. Dangerous statement. But Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. What are lentils? Beans. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. This is a sad story. We're going to pull some meaning out of it, though. Are you ready? Why don't you lift your hands to the Lord and let's just ask him, Lord, would you download to us today? Would you reveal to us our own birthright and how oftentimes we are willing, like Esau, to trade it for something far less valuable? Lord, I believe for every person here, you have a destiny and a purpose, and we are determined to pursue that. Holy Spirit, you are the change agent. And as we sang, you're welcome here. And when you come with a purpose. You come with an agenda that is to get to us and to open us up and to transform us into the image of Jesus. And we just say, we receive it. Would you say that? Say, I receive it in Jesus' name. So Esau comes starving, poor baby. He's been out there in the open country hunting, hairy red man out hunting in the open country, killing his game. And he comes home evidently from an unsuccessful hunt, and he's hungry, and he asks Jacob for a bowl of beans. And Jacob says, sure, bro. Hey, and then there's that birthright thing. Remember that? It's like, come on, man, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. Give me some beans. Jacob's like, well, birthright for beans? How would that be? Esau's like, whatever. Just give me the beans. You know, and this seems like a real, I mean, honestly, until this series, I never really delved into the importance of this. This is a big deal. It's a huge deal. That Esau would trade his birthright. You know what? The birthright was basically a double inheritance. The firstborn got double in that culture. That's why I'm thinking, I'm liking being a firstborn, right? So it was a big deal. It was significant. No wonder Jacob was heel grabbing, right? It's like, I want me some of that. And Esau says, I want me some beans. He's throwing away the value of this birthright. We're going to see that's a big deal. It's probably the worst negotiation in human history. You say, why would he do that? Well, why do we do that, right? So write down a few things, if you would, in your note sheet, in your worship guide this morning. First of all, don't mistake growth for maturity. They are not synonymous. If you've been here when we've done rites of passage, we talk about that a lot, how chronological age, while we respect chronological age, that doesn't necessarily equate to maturity. I know some 60-year-olds that aren't as mature as some 16-year-olds. Anybody else know what I'm talking about today? Immaturity can show up at any age, and just because you're older doesn't mean you got it. Esau and Jacob were how old did the scripture say they were when this happened, this exchange? 60. Are you kidding me? You know, if they were 6, maybe I could figure this out, but not 60. They should know better, which tells me some things about these boys. Although they grew up, the scripture says, they were still acting like babies, still acting very immature. How many of you know that we can be grown up on the outside, but babies immature on the inside? We can, and it's, any one of us can be a victim of this. Esau grew in his hunting skills. He was a skillful hunter, but he did not grow in his relationship with God, evidently. He neglected the thing that was most important. He didn't grow in character. He didn't grow up in who he truly was. He learned to kill his dinner, but he didn't learn to control his appetite. And it ended up biting him in the nether region as a result. Don't mistake maturity for growth. Don't assume just because you have growth physically that you're older and you appear wiser that you necessarily are. Wisdom and maturity are required, and that isn't a given just because you're advanced in years. That's, of course, the goal, but it isn't necessarily true. You might have a gift. This is really important. You might have a gift that God's given you, and I think every person does. But if you don't grow in character, you won't be able to sustain that gift. Your gift will only take you so long. Someone has said better than I that your gift can only take you as far as your character can sustain you. And if you don't have the character to go with the gift, you can be all gifted and all that. If your character doesn't catch up with that gift, it's not going to last long. It's going to be the one-hit wonder, flash in the pan. If we've really grown up, we won't be governed by these selfish, childish impulses. And that's what we see with Esau. And I had to just say, what were you thinking, Isaac? Anytime you have, you know, this situation where the dad loves one kid and mama loves another, you're in trouble, trouble, trouble. You're setting it up for failure. Obviously, Isaac must have been a little childish in his parenting to have played favorites, and mom wasn't helping out. Instead of, I put in my notes, mom didn't mother, she smothered, right? Jacob learned how to kind of manipulate, and mom was encouraging that. Second thing I want you to write down is this: unsatisfied appetites become exaggerated emotions. Unsatisfied appetites become exaggerated emotions. How many of you know when you're hangry, everything looks different, right? It colors everything. I'm not just talking about physical hunger, but physical hunger is a great example of that. Esau got in trouble because he got too hungry. He was willing to do anything to satisfy his appetite. How many of you know that when you're that hungry, when you're that desperate, you got to be careful who you listen to. You better be careful who you give audience to. Because if you're hungry enough, you'll eat anything. It's like, if I'm hungry for affirmation, there are plenty of voices out there who will try to give me that. And they don't necessarily have my best interest at heart. Right? Emotionally, we can be manipulated if we're hungry enough. No matter what it is that we hunger for, we're in a susceptible state. Be careful that you don't talk to the wrong person when you're in that state. In Genesis 25:30, Esau said to Jacob, "I'm starved. Give me that red stew now," right? You just hear him, big hairy man. Was he intimidating? Yes, sir. Oh, by the way, that birthright thing, you know, the birthright, you know, that you have, how about we just trade? How would that be? Esau's like, "I'm going to punch you. Give me some stew." He didn't care. In that susceptible place, Esau did something that we can't imagine. But what's true is that he was willing to trade. Mr. Drama Queen, Mr. Big Hairy Man of the open country, let his hunger get ahead of his common sense. He ended up trading something that was far more valuable. We do the same thing too. When we get too hungry, we blow things out of proportion, right? When something happens in your life and it just seems like the biggest thing, and a couple of days later it wasn't that big, right? But at the moment it was everything. If we react and respond in that moment, that impulse, how our gut, right? Don't follow your gut. You don't follow the gut. You follow the Holy Spirit is what you do, okay? You don't listen to what your flesh wants to do necessarily in those moments when you're overly hungry, when you're too lonely. You make decisions that are not healthy. When you're too tired, how many of you know that when you're tired, you just don't make good decisions, right? You're just too tired. You need a nap, bro. What you need, come on, just relax, chill. Sometimes that's the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap, and I'll be doing that this afternoon, right? It's like, do that. People around you will say, please, please do that because you need something more than what your flesh is crying out for right now. You're too tired. You're looking for love. You're wanting that need, which is a legitimate need, right? My definition of sin, an illegitimate means to fill a legitimate need. It's a legitimate need, but we find things to fill it that are illegitimate when we're too hungry. We sang it a while ago. My soul, remember who it is that really loves me. That's when you understand when your soul is full, you won't be looking for a bowl that's full of something that isn't really what you need. A soul full or a bowl full. I thought that was pretty good. You guys didn't like it as much as I thought it was pretty good. You got to beware of the quick fix when you're hungry. And listen, convenience stores have this figured out. What do they put right there at the cash register? All broccoli and carrots and all the good stuff, right? all the junk right there. Because they know, ooh, impulse. They're going to see that and say, ooh, I am hungry, by the way. I need that double Snickers bar right there. Mm-hmm. I'm hangry. Like, no, you really don't. But it sure looks good at the time. We make bad choices not because we're bad sometimes, but because we're too hungry, which is why we keep our soul full and we don't starve. There's no reason to starve. You can only get, you know, you can be so hungry sometimes that you look for people to fill a need that only God can fill. Even in marriage, you know, we look to our mate to fill all of our needs, and it's just not practical. It's not going to happen. You got to keep your soul full because you'll be disappointed oftentimes, and you'll blame it on them. In reality, you should be getting what you need from God and from God's people. That's what how he designed it. And then, boy, Esau really blows it here. He makes this statement that was just sort of like the shoe fell. What good is this birthright to me? That's a heavy statement. What good is this birthright to me? What good is this inheritance to me? I'm hungry. I want what I need right now. This inheritance isn't going to come for a while, but today I'm hungry. I'll sell whatever. Who cares? Just satisfy this appetite in me. And that is what sealed his fate. You say, maybe I'll never get married. Maybe I should just settle. Maybe I'll never be loved. I should just take advantage of this opportunity that's before me. Now, listen, you were created for more. You were created for better than that. You'll settle for a bowl instead of a birthright, like a dog, right? Listen, you're not a dog. You don't eat out of bowls. You have a birthright. We're teaching our little pup, Indy Blue, to be a gentleman. And so when it's time to eat, he is so excited. And we're trying to do the wait, right? It's like, wait. And so you have the bowl of food, and we gradually have got it to where he'll let you put it down, which is a big deal because he used to jump up and, you know, knock you over. Now it's like, wait, wait. This morning I did that. He'll get it to where I'll leave it all the way to the floor and leave it alone. And literally the drool was running out of his mouth. Wait, wait. He's doing better. What he's not doing so good at is when we let him out in the yard to do his business, he'll eat anything. And I mean anything. How many of you know that when you're hungry enough, you'll eat anything? Come on, that's us. Don't give my pup a hard time. You would do it too. You do it when you'll eat anything because you're hungry. Your soul is hungry. And you're settling for something that, blah. Just a word to the wise, don't let my dog lick you when you come to my house. Like I'm just telling you, you never know where that tongue has been. When you're hungry enough, you'll eat anything. It's not good to be that hungry. You'll let anything in that state of mind. How about this? Don't give up what you want most for what you want now. You better decide what you want most. Because if you don't, you're going to give it up for what you want right now, baby. What's in front? Good enough. Let's just go with that. That never gets you where you want to go. That's not birthright thinking. That is bowl mentality. And you weren't born for the bowl. You were born for the birthright. Esau sold his birthright when he ate the stew. And the scripture says, what did he do? Oh, it's so good. Oh, that was the best stew. No, he eats it, gets up, and leaves. didn't even really enjoy it. There's no indication that it was like just this amazing experience. It's like, yeah, whatever. I got my need met. I'm gone. No concept for what has just happened. What did he just exchange it for? I'll tell you what, sometimes the smallest decisions in life, they look innocent at the moment. A bowl of beans. It's just a bowl of beans. Man, that was an expensive bowl of beans. Cost him a lot. Cost him even more than he realized. When you're empty, you'll let people fill your bowl with anything. So don't be empty. And can I say this? I'm meddling now. People, you know, use this excuse when they change churches. Well, I just wasn't being fed, so. I'm like, well, you know, it's kind of your responsibility to feed yourself. Unless you're like 3 months old, then you get a pass. But if you're supposed to be mature, you should have the ability to feed yourself. What I do here on Sundays is I build you up and I encourage you and you get to be with the body, and that's important. But it's also important that tomorrow you have a meal, right? You don't eat once a week. Come on, praise the Lord. I don't. It's like, I got to eat more than that. So, and you have that need as well. You've got to learn how to feed yourself to stay strong. So your bowl stays full, so you won't be satisfied with anything that someone tries to offer you. Sometimes we talk ourselves into giving our birthright away because we think that's all we're going to get. And that is not birthright mentality. It would be a gift if the Lord would show us the true nature of the bowl so that we wouldn't be tempted to choose it. In temptation, for me, it's like if I knew I was being tempted, it would be easier to reject it. But temptation doesn't look like temptation. It looks good, right? Come on. Why else would we be tempted if it wasn't good? I'm tempted to trade my peace when worry comes knocking at the door. And instead of peace, I'll take a bowl full of trouble. I'll focus on that instead of what my birthright gives me, which is what? Peace. I give to you. Peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. Give I you, Renee. Peace that passes understanding. What would you trade that for? A bowl of worry. See, we do that, don't we? We do it. We settle for a bowl of beans. We shouldn't do that. No bean is worth that. What if Esau, though, had just one good friend there at the time that say, hey, bro, wake up. Smell the roses. These beans aren't that great. You're going to trade your birthright for that? See, that's why we need each other. That's why Christianity is not a solo sport. We've got to have one another. No one's good enough. We all get hungry from time to time and are tempted to trade the bowl and the birthright, and it's just not worth it. But we all do it. Therefore, we need to be connected to the body, because this birthright is invisible. You can't see it. You can see the beans. You have someone to remind you of the invisible inheritance. It says in 2 Corinthians 4, we fix our eyes on what is unseen, not on what is seen. See, it's so difficult. The enemy gives us things that are seen, that seem to be what we're looking for. In reality, what we're looking for is a kingdom that is not seen. It's how we spend our money. It's where we invest ourselves emotionally and relationally. It's the words we choose to use. See, sometimes I get a whiff of something in a conversation. Somebody talking about a pastor somewhere, what he might have done, or this church, what's going on there. It's like, whoa, what does that smell like? You know, smells like something juicy I can gossip on, right? Can I just tell you this? It's a bowl of beans. It's not worth trading your birthright for. You were born for better than that. I don't care if there's even validity to the story. Don't trade your birthright for a bowl of beans. Don't do it. If it doesn't line up with what the Word of God is, that is the birthright. That is the true inheritance. I'm not trading that for a bowl of beans. So someone tempts you with a juicy morsel, you could politely say, that's a bowl of beans, right? That's just a bowl of beans. Or something happens in your life that seems like the end of the world. From eternity's perspective, it's a bowl of beans. I'm not making light of troubles that we go through. I'm not saying that you shouldn't ever hurt or feel pain. I'm just saying keep it in perspective. Eternity is waiting. You know, I had a family in here Tuesday, and we said goodbye to their 20-year-old son. It's a tough lesson to learn that the choices that we make every day matter. Instead, we oftentimes forget that, and we trade it for a bowl of beans. And like Esau found out, that's a really bad choice, and you can't ever get it back. As believers in Jesus, we've been given a birthright, an inheritance that's very real. It's not easily seen. I'll give you that. But still eternally valuable to us. If we live our life from that perspective, it'll change the decisions that we make. It'll change our conversations and how we treat and talk to one another. It'll change the way we look at our city. See, that's why I'm so moved about what's going on right now. I know that this church has been given an inheritance. This church has been given a destiny. I believe we're here for a specific reason. And I believe we're going to continue to see that reason unfold. And I will not trade that birthright, that inheritance, for a bowl of beans. Even when I'm tempted to fear and say, how's it going to happen? Where's the money going to come from, God? I don't know. It seems so hard, so overwhelming. I'm not going to let worry take the place of my inheritance. I'm not going to trade for a bowl of beans. Do you see what the application for your life now? For your family, for the things that you're concerned about, for the things you're tempted to say, the ways you're tempted to act to fill a legitimate need with an illegitimate resource. It's not worth it. It's a bowl of beans. Jesus ascended into heaven. He sent his inheritance to us, sealed it with his Spirit. It's ours eternally. But we can trade it for something as worthless as a bowl of beans. And Esau found that out. For every birthright, there's a bowl. We could trade our peace for worry. We can trade our joy for something to grumble about. What's the Bible say joy is to you? Joy is your strength. You're going to trade that for grumbling? We sell our testimonies by indulging our tempers. We say we have a right. I say you've lost your birthright by exercising your right. Which is more important to you? Look what happened. This is very serious. Hebrews 12. Man, it gets written about in Scripture later. Hebrews 12, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root springs up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is what? What's the next word? Godless. Oh, you see why this is a big deal? Esau sold his birthright and is called godless. And I don't want that label on my life. Esau sold his birthright, godless, for a single meal, selling his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, even though he sought the blessing with tears. He could not exchange what he had done. Godless. It makes you wonder what Esau's life would have been like if he hadn't traded. What if he hadn't exchanged? Maybe we would be reading the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. He traded it. For what? A bowl of beans. That's why this is so serious. Here's the truth I want to leave you with. We don't have to live as starving sons or famished daughters. We don't have to live that way. We don't have to be so hungry that we'll let anything and anyone fill our bowl. Luke 15 tells us a story of another starving son, and I don't have time to go into it, but you probably know the story. The boy who was so hungry to see what life would be like if only he had this or that, he sells his inheritance. He demands his inheritance be given to him now. I want it now. I'm hungry. So he goes off because he smells something. Smells awfully good in the distance. So he takes his inheritance and follows his nose wherever it goes into the pig pen. Ah, so that's that fragrant bouquet I was noticing, right? Yeah, that's where he ends up, correct? In the pig pen. What he thought smelled attractive ended up smelling pretty bad, pretty putrid. That's where he ends up, trying to satisfy his appetite. But the Bible, thank God, says he came to his senses, or he came to himself, which is exactly what this series is about, coming to yourself. Last week we said that grace, mercy came to Jacob when he did what? When he acknowledged who he really was. Quit pretending. Quit trying to put on Esau's identity and instead confessed, I'm Jacob. God said, I can work with that. Give me truth. Give me transparency. Give me honesty. Be real with me. Don't be phony. You know what? If you ever catch me being phony, would you call me on that? Because I don't want to be phony. I don't want to be somebody that I'm not. You know, my family knows me pretty well. And there's not a big difference between the me on the platform and the me at home. But if there ever is, if I start pretending to be somebody I'm not, then I've lost it. See, I'm supposed to be me. I'm not supposed to be anybody else. As much as I would like for you to like me as much as you like somebody else, that's a nowhere road. That's selling my birthright for a bowl. Right. To make you happy, I'm going to become somebody else? I don't think so. I'm tempted because I want you to approve. See how that works? Temptation is so wicked. It's so, you know, it's like, ah! It's a genuine need, but if you fill it with an illegitimate means, you'll be disappointed. You'll trade your birthright. You'll forget who you are. And the grace of God, which is what repentance is, by the grace of God, his kindness leads us to repentance, which means I recognize who I really am and I turn toward who God's created me to be. I quit looking for illegitimate ways to fill a legitimate need, and I say, God, I'm turning from this, and I'm going your way. It's not guilt is not repentance, and sorrow is not repentance, and sorry for getting caught is not repentance. It is, I turn and I go another way. I make a different choice, and I walk that way, which is why we need one another to continue to walk that way, because I might be tempted to go back here. Right? Repentance is walking in the way that God's called you. It's living your birthright, coming to yourself, your true self, not who you think other people need you to be for them, but who God's created you to be, and which will never be contrary to his word, by the way. Your true identity. And I love the story, you know, just can't get enough of it. That when the boy comes to himself, when he recognizes his true identity, and he's like, man, what am I doing here? My father's house, even the servants have plenty to eat, and I'm here eating what Indy eats in the backyard. So I'm thinking maybe if I go home, maybe I could at least be a servant. See, the father had so much more. Don't you love it? And somebody should be shouting right now. It's like the son thought all he could maybe be, he could crawl back and be a slave maybe. And the father had a whole lot more. He had a birthright. He had an inheritance. He had an identity waiting for him. And the son comes close to the father. And the father says, just one moment. Let's talk about your choices. Talk about this stench, this bouquet you carry now, right? Let me get the garden hose and work you down. No, he runs to him. He embraces him. He kisses him. He gives him something new to wear, right? He puts a ring on his finger, an identity, identifying with the Father. Come on, somebody. There's a restoration working here. It was a celebration. Can you feel the heart of the Father today? calling you away from the bowl and into the birthright. See, if we live that way, then we won't live suspicious and jealous of other people. Because, well, they've got more than I've got, so I've got to, you know, that's the bowl, man. That is just the stinking rotten bowl of beans. So from now on, we have permission to tell each other when we're looking at the bowl, say, it's just a bowl of beans, bro. It's just a bowl of beans. Oh, that Esau had someone in his life that could help him find his true self. So why, if the story that Jesus told, the prodigal son, gets restored, why wasn't Esau? There's one difference. Jesus is the difference. He's the difference. In Jesus, prodigals get restored. In Jesus, birthrights are still available to you who are willing to accept it. If you will repent and turn from the way you are going and say, God's created me for better than that. Do you see? He's not about your punishment. He's about your restoration. He's about you being revealed as the true son and daughter of God that he created you to be. He wants more for you than a bowl of beans. Aren't you glad? Man, that just blesses me because I feel like the prodigal felt he will never have me back after what I've done. And God says, that's exactly why I sent Jesus to the cross. That's it. That's the reason. In Jesus, we can be restored. In Jesus, there's always hope for the prodigal. The firstborn among many brethren. And Jesus was offered bowls too, wasn't he? Remember his temptation in the wilderness? What was he offered? Power, greatness. Yeah, bread, something as simple as bread. After you've been fasting 40 days and 40 nights, yeah, bread, it looks pretty good. You know, sometimes, and I like to look at it this way, as a good father, the scripture says that if we ask for a piece of bread, he won't give us a rock, will he? You know, or if we ask for a fish, he won't give us a snake. Well, guess what? Sometimes our enemy will disguise rocks as bread and snakes as fish. And we're tempted. And I say, Lord, don't let me settle for a rock. And please don't let me have a snake, right? I want the real thing. I want what you have for me. Jesus chose the word of God over the desires of this world. He chose the birthright. And I know it couldn't have been easy. And yet, because of his pathway he blazed as a firstborn son, there's hope for the rest of us. We don't have to live as starving sons and famished daughters anymore. You could get your birthright back because of what Jesus did. So even though we're all Esau, we have traded birthrights for bowls, there's hope today, okay? There's hope. There's restoration. That's why I believe what the work of this church in this place, yeah, it's for us, but it's for a whole lot more than us. It's for sons and daughters that are tempted by the bowls that life offers. And we can be agents of restoration once we've been restored. And we can turn and help our brother, the scripture says. And today I just want to spend some time. We've got a few moments here. Purposely left it so we're not pressing up against the deadline. I really want the Lord to be free to do what he wants to do today. Won't you stand to your feet this morning with me? I'm just going to spend some time in his presence. Love that song, Matt, you sang earlier. In fact, can you just repeat that chorus for us? Today, I think what we've been doing is we've been reminding ourselves who we were created to be. Reminding ourselves of the love that was so great that the Father would send his sinless only Son to die for me when I was in the pig pen, right? Man, I didn't deserve it. And no one else would have rescued me from that pig pen. No one else would have saw the worth. Can I tell you that today there are many sons and daughters today who don't understand how valuable they are to the Father. And they're settling for bowls. They're settling for life in the pig pen. And today I just want to tell you, your Father has so much more for you than that. And I'm just so thankful that we get to be a place where we can see starving sons and famished daughters know how much they're loved. Just close your eyes for a moment. Matt, would you sing that song over us? Remind ourselves of His love, our identity in Him today. God, there's a greater hope for us today than there was for Esau. Because of Jesus, we have a hope. That pig pen is a dark place. Many of us have made choices that we feel like have shut us out and away from the grace and the goodness of God. But today, the Lord is saying there's never a time, there's never a place where you're too far for my grace to find you and rescue you. And I'm reminding you of that truth today. And if you're receiving that truth, would you just lift your hand to heaven and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Starving son, famished daughter. Come on, lift your hand to heaven if that's you. He's willing to restore. It doesn't matter how far you've drifted. It doesn't matter what choice you've made. We all make bad choices. Thank God for Jesus who made the greatest choice. He dissolves, He nullifies the choices of the past. The enemy has no more hold on you. His legal claim is canceled when you say, I make the choice to follow Jesus. Come on, who's making that choice today? Let me see your hand again. Show me, who's making that choice today to follow Jesus? Glorious exchange taking place today. That bowl for your birthright is being restored today. Lord, I pray for my friends today, my brothers and sisters on this journey. Thank you for restoration today, God. Lord, even family lineage and heritage that has been passed on that sometimes we don't even know, why do I struggle with that? God, today you're saying because of the blood of Jesus, that line can be drawn, that connection, that chain to the past can be severed, and a new life can begin today. Lord, those today with hands lifted high are receiving a new inheritance, a new birthright in Jesus. Let's give Him thanks today for what God has done in the house. Hallelujah. It's good. It's good to remind yourself of His love, of His grace, of the new life we have in Jesus. If you've never prayed that way before, today was the first, and we really want to talk to you, help seal the deal. Or if you need someone just to stand with you in agreement and say, this is what I'm asking God for. This bowl, I'm done with that. I want my birthright. I want to turn from this way and go to this way. Our prayer team would love to pray with you about that. While they head that way and you go that way, just remember that this afternoon at 1:30, we'll be doing some restoration down the street in preparation for what we think God wants to do in the next couple of weeks. Welcome, our Native brothers and sisters, First Nations people. God's going to do some restoration. I just know He is. You know how historic this is? The first time we're aware of that Native leaders have come together and put on an event for us, for non-Native people. This is huge. For one thing, the church has never needed the Native church before. And we're just saying, we need you. We need the strength that you bring. Church, do you realize that's what this is about? We need what you bring. You don't need us. We need you. We're hosting. We're receiving what God has given to them. It's going to be a strength to us that it's going to help us claim our inheritance where God wants to take us. Let's thank God for that. Continue to believe. You know, I hope that you are following along the 21 days of prayer with us. If you're not connected on Facebook with us, we put those prayer reminders out there several this week so we can be agreeing together what we want God to do during this 21 days of concentrated prayer. So check that out. We'll see you this afternoon. Don't forget to get some prayer before you go, and I'll be seeing you out there if you're new. God bless you. Thank you for coming today. It's been a good day in the house of God. Amen? Amen. You're dismissed.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit RestorationSTJ.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.